my queens. You are the beautiful. Nurturer of great generation.
Hi, I am Empress Sharon Eam, bringing the truth of our stolen history. The mothership has landed. She is your modern-day Noah's Ark, bringing knowledge and understanding of your lost past. Get ready for enlightenment with Eyes Can See.
Mother of the universe,
you are the beautiful.
You're not what
queen.
They say.
You are the beautiful.
You're not a female doll.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, rather. Thank you for tuning in again to another broadcast of Eyes Can See. Today's lesson is going to be about the shift, the magical season that we're entering into. Let's start off with prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this platform. Thank you for blessing me with the information, the knowledge that you have given me to teach your children. You said that we perish for a lack of knowledge. Thank you, Father, for your word coming forth to let us know who we are as your people, to let us know about our stolen history, what has happened, what is still yet to happen with us, that this story is not over. But thank you, Father, for enlightening us so we can know who we are and whose we are and how we're coming up out of this thing that we are in. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to also start with Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And that is who God has made us. He has made us trees of righteousness. He has sent us out into the four corners of the earth. He has planted us in the four corners of the earth, that we may be a blessing to those where he has sent us, you know, to be in the earth. So this thing for us, even though we are blessing to the earth, this thing for us, this captivity, a captivity that we are in, that has lasted 400 years over our lives, is coming to a completion. A demarcation period is happening within this time that we are living in. We've reached a cessation period, you all, where Gentile rule, a rule of wickedness, a rule of Satan that is in the earth, where we're living in right now, is coming to an end. In a couple of months, just a couple of months, we will run dead smack into the Hebrew year of 5779. And I'm so excited to talk about that timing that we are running into, you all, the end of a thing and the beginning of something new. So we're coming out of something that's evil, something that's cruel. We're in a place where Satan is actually wearing out the saints. I mean, come on, y'all. Look at our history. Look at who we are as a people. We are the only people in the earth that don't have a complete history. We are the only people in the earth who was taken from a land, stolen, y'all, stolen from a land and sent into another land. And we had to go through so many atrocities, so much cruelty, so much punishment. But as we read the word of God, we find out why all of this happened. And we also find out that only God's children had to go through all of these things. So that should tell you, this mark that we carry upon us in our hair and in our skin, it's the mark of God that we are his children in the earth. They call us bywords and proverbs. You know, that N word. Yeah, they call us all of that and more. So we're going to study about more about, I'm going to give you more about information on the Byzantine Empire, because with the Byzantine Empire, that is the Jacobites. That is the 10 northern tribes who formed the Byzantine Empire. They came from antiquity. They were exiled out of the land in 740. No, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. In 721 BC, they left the land. God exiled them out of the land at that time. So they went out into the world, and they formed all of the kingdoms that we read about. Everywhere you see a pyramid, that was the 10 northern tribes who had gone out into the earth at that time. We are the kings. That was given to our lineage. So everywhere that you've seen us as an exiled people that went out into the land, we formed the kingdoms wherever we went, except for in the last dispersion, when we were taken from the continent of Africa along the coastal lands, where we were run into those parts, you know, well, actually, we went into all parts of Africa, the central part, the western part, the southern tip. We went into all parts of Africa to get away from Roman rule. So when we did that, slavery happened and no more kingdoms came out of us. That was the end of a period for us. That was a shift that happened during that time and a demarcation period for what happened when we failed as a people, when we ruled as kings and queens, because as I said, on our line of on our lineage, we come from kings, priests, and royalty. Those were the three gifts given to Shem to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're out of Jacob's descendant. We are Jacob's descendants. We're out of his lineage. So those are the three gifts that were given to us, and they still follow us to today. We just happen to be in a fallen situation. So just know in 2 more months, oh, we're going to see that spectacular. We're going to see that impossible. We're going to see that shift that has taken place that is going to present itself to the world, to let the world know who God's children are, who his true children are. So let's get with an overview. I want to give you more about the Byzantine Empire. In the year 1453, Turks from the Ottoman Empire captured the city of Constantinople, bringing an official end to the Byzantine Empire. So let's go back and see who these players are. The Turks, the Ottoman Empire, they are your present day Arabs. I told you guys, they are not Arabs. They are Turkish people. They come from the Huns, who split off into two different groups. One part went into Crimea area, called the Ottoman Turks, and the other part went into the Caucasus Mountains, called the Khazars. So we want to know who those two groups are. And the Khazars are pretending to be us, as the children of Israel. And the Arab, the Ottoman Turks are pretending to be the Arabs. So let's get that cleared and understood. And that the Byzantine, as I said, they were of the 10 northern tribes. However, as we're about to learn, it was more than the Turkish guns that brought an end to this grand empire. For centuries, the Byzantine Empire, also known as the Eastern Roman Empire, y'all, that's where we find all of the black arts of the Byzantine Empire. If you still want to see how we looked back in the biblical days in the Bibles, Google Eastern Roman Empire, Byzantine Empire, and that will pull up all the artwork from the Bibles, from the Bibles of the 1300s, 1400s, 1500s, you can see how the icons of the Bibles were black. The angels, the people, you know, the 10 northern tribes, the two southern tribes who are Judah, that's us, you know, the tribes of praise. All of us was black at that time. And we ruled Europe. Yeah, we did. We ruled Europe. We ruled Russia. We ruled Germany. We ruled Great Britain. All of those were ours before the people who came to claim those lands, who were assigned to those lands in Genesis 10 and 5. Those are the Gentiles. Those were their lands. But we got there in the BC times. They were still in the Crimea area and the Caucasus mountain regions when we inhabited those lands, when the 10 northern tribes inhabited those lands. So understand, yes, those are their lands, but we got there first, and we, being kings, started the empires that are, you know, have lasted even through to today. But a shift happened as I'm reading, and everything was transferred. Powers was transferred over to these imposters. Okay, so for centuries, the Byzantine Empire, also known as the Eastern Roman Empire, had enjoyed prosperity. Situated along profitable trade routes and protected by the Black Sea, the empire thrived. For years, it seemed that the Roman Empire of the East would eclipse the grandeur once found in Rome. However, like Rome, the Byzantine Empire would face a gradual decline, aided by the internal instability and external invasion. Internal instability. Y'all watch this carefully, because you have to know that the Arabs started taking over, not the Arabs, let me get this straight. The Ottoman Turks, who are claiming to be the Arabs, they started taking over the Arab territories back in the 10th century, you know, towards the 11th century. They started to come in and take over. That's when the shift started for them to come in and to start taking over these lands. So as early as 1000 BC, they start coming into the lands and start taking over the Arab empires, okay? So in saying that is to say slavery started under black rulership, you all. Slavery didn't just start with Gentile rule and the Europeans that came over and took, you know, who, when we failed, they came into power through Satan's rule. This didn't all just start, you know, with them. This happened under our watch. you know, with this internal instability, with, you know, us fighting against one another, going against one another. I don't like you today, so we gonna have war. You did something to me. I don't like it. Okay, I'm coming over to take your territory. You know, all this stuff. You know, just like we see with black on black crime. This was the same stuff that was happening back then. Somebody didn't like somebody, or somebody wanted to take over somebody's, you know, kingdom. You know, this is how all this stuff happened. And slavery started under their watch, because slavery has been going on forever, y'all. This ain't nothing that just happened. But you had all forms of slavery. You had indentured slavery, you know, where, you know, when you went into slavery, you could buy your way out after a certain time period. But the slavery that we fell into when we were taken into this country, when we were stolen and bought into this country, was not indentured. It was chattel slavery, ownership. Like, we were treated like cattle, less than cattle, y'all. So less than animals. That's why they say we 3/5 human. And some of them still have that mindset that we are 3/5 human. Okay, so for the internal instability, I want you all to know that slavery actually started under black rulership. Yes, it did. Okay, so for this lesson, we'll start with internal instability. In doing so, we'll blame the nobility for the empire's woes. To explain, early in the empire's history, most of its population was made up of free men who were given land in turn for military service. Fortunately for the empire, these men also paid taxes. With this, the Byzantine Empire not only had a large tax base, but it also had a large military at its disposal. However, all of this changed as members of the nobility began claiming large areas of land as their own. Not only did they begin swallowing up land, but they also began placing the poorer class into a state of bondage, in which they were tied to the land and owned their allegiance to the noble land owner rather than the empire. So you see how the poor people started to fall into bondage to the people who had, to the haves and the have nots. That's what this all boiled down to, y'all. This has come to be known as serfdom, as a peasant class was swallowed up by nobility. See? And the same thing going on. Ain't it going on now? Come on, y'all. Follow history, because it's sure teaching. The tax base and the military of the Byzantine Empire began to evaporate. As if this wasn't bad enough, the empire was then forced to depend on mercenary armies and cities from the west for protection. See, you got to go and get people you don't even trust, people you don't even know to come fight for you. You know, you don't know if these people are going to turn against you or not. But this is what it boiled down to. This is how all this mess started, y'all. This was especially troublesome because mercenaries were rather expensive, making matters worse. The Byzantine Empire and the cities of the West were not on the best of terms. So not only did this deplete the empire's treasury, but it also allowed Western merchants, specifically those from Venice, free access to the markets of Constantinople. When the Venetians began selling goods at a cheaper price, the coffers of the empire were dealt another blow. Outside invasion. So this is how the empire failed. I mean, greed. And then they didn't know who they was dealing with these armies, you know? So come on. Their empire started being swallowed up by those who are stronger than them, who had power and control over them, who could get power and control. Outside invasions. While struggling with internal issues, the empire was also threatened by outside invasion. Hey, come on now. Aren't we having some internal conflicts going on in our present day, you know, life here in America, where this president is starting internal conflicts going on, and now an outside Come on, we have outside conflicts going on as well. Hey, we need to reread history so we can find out what happened then when they tried this. It didn't work then. So, come on. Isn't it going to pretty much end up the same way again? I mean, come on. We can't keep doing the same old thing expecting a different result. Wow, that don't work. But anyway, while struggling with the internal issues, the empire also threatened by outside invasion. In 1071, the beginning of the end began when the Turks marched on the empire and handed it a devastating defeat at the Battle of Manzikert. At the battle's end, the empire saw the loss of much of Asia Minor and the Balkans. Oddly enough, for the empire, the Byzantine Empire, not only did they have to deal with the Turks, they also faced some serious grief from the Christians of the West. That's these folks rising up, talking about, no, you can't do it like this, can't do it like that. They had all kinds of problems they had to deal with. Wow, this is a black empire. Wow, and now they have to face all of this with all these other people because a shift had happened. It was time for this black empire to fall. That's why the whole Middle East is out of sync. Everybody in the Middle East that belong there, the true people, are not there. They are misplaced. And other people who are pretending to be us are there, taking our place, y'all, because of this shift, because of that punishment. Remember those cities they didn't really get along with, but had to rely on protection? Well, they came in the form of the Fourth Crusade. Man, you know what? This is a story that I keep telling you all from Psalms 83. In Psalms 83, it kind of tells this same type of story. When the children of Israel went into the land God gave them, went into the land of Israel, which was Canaan, went into that land, he told them to wipe everybody off the land. They didn't. They left people in the land. And when they did, those people rose up against them. God caused them to rise up against us and then exile us from the land. So check this out. Come on, go with me. They came in the form of the Fourth Crusade or Christendom. Them Christians, y'all. Quest to free the holy lands of Muslim control. To explain this odd twist, at the very beginning of the 13th century, Christians, now they the evangelical Christians. They them same ones, y'all, that put people in bondage. They the same ones that came and got us and then put a lot of us on that good ship Jesus. The good ship Jesus. Yeah, that's why we don't really care for the name of Jesus, but us in the church know that that name is only one of the names that is used. So we still, those of us who know, still know that we can get our blessings through that name, though a lot of us look at that name as being, you know, something other. But God said in his word, Jesus is that name that make people fall. Jesus is that one, that capstone that causes men to fall. They fall over that name, Jesus. Yes, they do, because the enemy used it against us. But anyway, let's get back to this. To explain this odd twist, at the very beginning of the 13th century, Christians again marched towards the Holy Land. However, this time they decided to make a pit stop of sorts at the city of Constantinople, y'all. Byzantium capital. That black city, y'all. Constantinople. The one who changed the times. Yeah, he was on that wicked side too, even though being black. I told you, slavery started under black rulership, y'all. So anyway, Constantine, he said he was given this sign to rule by the sign of the cross. But look, the enemy came and took it. Satan used that. He used the cross. He used the very thing against us that will end up freeing us. Wow, this is crazy. So anyway, he used Jesus and the word of God against us, but it's the very same thing to save us. But come on, follow me here, y'all. Upon entering the city, The Western soldiers ransacked the city, claiming it as their own. Although the Byzantines would eventually recover from this attack, it further drained their already depleted resources. The fall of Constantinople. This led us to the final death blow of a Byzantine Empire. In 1453, the fall of Constantinople. Facing internal issues and outside invasion, the empire was breathing its last. Y'all better pay attention to this empire we're living in now, because it's on its last leg too. It's breathing its last. It's a time of change, just like it was a time of change for them. By the start of the 15th century, the Turkish force had clawed their way through a large part of Eastern Europe. Through that black rulership, y'all, with strategic wins throughout the empire, the Turks had chiseled away much of the lands once held by the Byzantines. In fact, by 1453, Constantinople was really the only place left under the empire's control. All the lands that they had vast control. They only ended up with Constantinople itself after they lost all their lands. Secure behind the city walls, the empire waited out the attack. However, when the Turks descended on the city with gunpowder and cannons, the city was vanquished. Shortly after this loss, Constantinople was renamed Istanbul. That's the name it is today, y'all. Istanbul. Istanbul was a black city led by Constantinople, established by Constantinople, a black man, y'all. So we need to know this. They stole all our history. So it's like, wow, we don't know any of this. And the world said its final goodbye to the power of the Byzantine Empire. Yeah, it failed back then, y'all. But guess what? Resurrection time is magical time. But it ain't coming through the Byzantine Empire. But it is coming back black rulership along with the church. The church is a part of this. So, I wanted to tell you guys, this very same thing that happened back whence in time, the Byzantine Empire, you see how they failed and how we lost everything. Yeah, that time coming back around again for this present this present administration, this present empire. It's Satan's empire, y'all. It's the empire of Daniel and Revelations, the empires. You got Babylon, which is the head of gold. It's the mouth of the lion. Come on, y'all. Babylon, that's wrong. You can look to see who these people are in modern day times. You can look to see who they are, y'all. If we go through that statue, all those empires that make up that one statue that makes up the powers that will come to a halt in this end time age. We going there, y'all. We there. We very, very close to that point, y'all. Even though some other stuff has to happen before we get there, like our revealing and all of that good stuff. Yeah. Then you have the Medo-Persia. Well, Babylon ruled until 539 BC. But Babylon transferred into the church. The kingdom of the church came through Babylon. So they were established again in this end time system through Satan. Then you have the Medo-Persians. They were a kingdom until 331 BC. And they are the kings of Persia. Okay, those lands, those people were moved out of the land and other people were brought in. So you had a transference of people being moved around. People were moving around during this time. And you have, they represent the chest of silver. And they are a bear and they have a ram's horn, and they are the kings of Persia. They are the feet of the bear also. So the kings of Persia, I have this map where I'm reading from, and it's telling us who is who. Who is who, you know, on this statue, you know, in Daniel. If we read in Daniel and we read about these empires that have come together to make, you know, the forces that are going to fight the kingdom of God, that's going to fight Jesus when he steps into the earth. These are these kingdoms. They lining up now, y'all. You have Greece, which was Alexander the Great, you know, who came in and took over Egypt. Yeah, all of these people. Then you have pagan Rome, who I told you is Babylon. You know, they're the legs of iron. They're the world power of John. They were the world power of John's time when, you know, Apostle John was in the land. You have Europe, which was divided. And that's the Eastern. Remember, I told you the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Western Church. So that is the kingdom that is divided. Okay, that's the 10 toes, the 10 horns, and the 10 horns are the beast of the from the sea. Then you have Papal Rome. Their rule began, it says, in 538 AD. That's when black rulership was around. I told you slavery started under this system, you know, through the world. Well, slavery was going on all throughout the flick. So, I mean, the slavery that really affect us under papal rule, which papal rule started off black, you all, because during this time, we were still in position. We had not fallen yet. Remember, I told you the Ottoman Turks, who were calling themselves Arabs, didn't come in until the 10th century, almost 11th century. So Papal Rome, that began in 538 AD, which is, again, I said papal rule, the clay and iron. It's church and state. It's the apostasy and persecution. Okay? And it is to receive a deadly wound at the time of the end. So we're waiting for all these things to still take place. The leader is going to come up with a deadly wound. And it's going to be where it takes him out. You know, it's going to kill him. But he's going to be revived from this deadly wound. So we're still waiting for that to happen. Then you have judgment. And it says that judgment has started beginning as early as 1844. Because remember, it is preached in the word of God that the end time age, Gentile rule, is the end time age. You know, it started when Jesus left. When Jesus left out of the earth. You know, this period when AD started, actually, when Jesus came into the earth, that was the time when this end time age started, at the time of his birth, when he came into the earth. So I hope I got that point across to you guys, that Gentile rule came into the earth. It started at the time when Jesus was born into the earth, when Rome came into Jerusalem and they were ruling there. You all have to read the Bible stories for that. And you can read that in Luke, John, Matthew, Mark. It tells you that story when Rome came into Jerusalem. See, we need to read the Bible stories to find out what happened, y'all. It tells you, you know, some of the things that happened that got us in that situation. Okay, so now moving on, talking about the Byzantine, what happened with that empire, and comparing it to the empire that Gentile rule, which wicked rule, you know, like wicked rule came under the Byzantinum. rulership. You know, not all kings were good rulers, you know, and God uses all things together for our good. So the 10 northern tribes failed just like the southern tribes failed. We all had to go through a punishment. So this is that punishment. This is how we're going through. You know, you have to piece it together to find out what happened and why. So I want to tell you guys, I want to get into the Hebrew year of 5779. I want you guys to really know how special this time is for us. It's so awesome. This is what we all been waiting on. When we say, I will be so glad when this is all over. I'll be so glad when the playing field is even. Hey, y'all. Black rulership is coming around again. And I'm not just speaking because I'm trying to say something that, okay, black is so this and black is so that. No, that is not what I'm saying. I am telling you that we are kings, we are queens, we are royalty. Just know that we are in a fallen state. That's the only thing going on with us right now. And that this is only for a certain time period. That we have to come back to right position. Okay. So, the Hebrew year 5779. I was trying to tell you guys last week what this means. The Hebrew year 5779, five means grace, favor, and goodness. Seven means God's completion and perfection. Double sevens mean double portion blessings. And the nine, well, the nine is, it has an element of a paradox to it. It's a double meaning. It represents a woman's womb. It represents birth. It represents righteousness and multiplication, increase, and blessings. That's indicated by the basket. If you look at what the number nine means, Every Hebrew number and every Hebrew letter has a symbol. And the symbol for the number nine means that it looks like a basket. And it also can look like a snake. So, as I said, it looks like a snake that's coiled, who will make war with the saints. And he's trying to thwart the plans of God to have his wicked way. And you know Satan's MO, what he's here to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. So we can see this in the present day administration that we are living in. This marks who we are as a people, y'all. How Satan comes to wear out the saints. Okay, so in Exodus 12, 40 through 42, it's used for captivity of the Israelites, but it's used to replace our modern day captivity. Everybody wants to always take us back to Exodus 12, 40 and through 42, which states that you know, the Israelites were in captivity for 430 years. But that's not what this captivity is about. This captivity is about 400 years. So these are two different scriptures. And also, people don't use the correct scripture in talking about this captivity. Let's go to the Brenton Septuagint, which says, in verse 40, Exodus 12 and 40, and the sojourning of the children of Israel while they sojourn in the land of Egypt, And the land of Canaan was 430 years. Verse 41. And it came to pass after the 430 years, all the forces of the Lord came out, came forth. They came forth out of the land of Egypt by night. Now, this is what happened when we were in captivity in Egypt and we came out after 430 years. And we came out of Egypt by night. I don't know if that's going to be any significance to what happens this time. But yes. Okay. And Zaki, I'm reading some of the things you're saying, but I'm going to stay focused on here. I'm going to answer all of those things after this broadcast because I want to get this message forth, bring it forth. Okay. And so that's when they were released from bondage. Okay. So now it says in verse 42, it is a watch kept to the Lord so that he should bring them out of the land of Egypt. That very night is a watch kept to the Lord so that it should be to all the children of Israel to their generations. So I was reading that to say that they take this scripture out of context. You know, always trying to use the 430 years for our present day captivity when our present day captivity is actually 400 years, which can be found in Genesis 15, 13 through 14, and in Acts 7, 6 through 7. So let's talk more about Ayin. That's the number 9. That is the letter Ayin, which represents the number 9, which also is an eye. Okay, it means to watch, to know. It means it is a silent. Ayin is silent. Okay, it's pronounced it's silent when you pronounce it. Okay, so let me give you some history about this letter, about Ayin. The ancient picture for this letter is the picture of an eye. The letter represents the ideas of seeing and watching, as well as knowledge, as the eye is the window of knowledge. The eye is the window of knowledge. And we're speaking of this eye as well as these two eyes. These are our natural eyes, but this is our spiritual eye. When it is awakened, then when we see pictures, it's already a done deal. Whatever we see in our mind's eye, we can do it, be it, achieve it, have it, because all we have to do is see it, believe that it's ours. It's ours. It comes to us naturally. Because we are those people. We're manifesting people. The name of the letter, Ayin, is a Semitic word that means eye. The early Semitic evolved in the simpler, in the middle Semitic, and remained the same until the late Semitic period. This letter evolved into the Ayin in the modern Hebrew script. The Middle Semitic became the oh sound in Greek and Latin. The word ayin means, it became the oh sound in Greek and Latin. The word ayin means eye, to see, to understand and obey. Jeremiah 5 and 21, Isaiah 6 and 10, and Matthew 13 and 15, you can find what ayin means. And God said, Ayin is said to represent the primeval light, the spiritual light of God in Genesis 1 and 3. And God said, let there be light. So Ayin, this eye, represents light. according to the Hebrew text, they say, according to the Jewish Midrash, which we don't go by the, but they talk the Jewish Midrash. Come on. They stole all of our stuff. This divine light is far greater than the light that radiates from the sun, moon, and stars. In the Torah, the spiritual eye can behold the presence of this radiance, but only through the inner eye given by the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Spirit. Iron sometimes is described as having two eyes that connect to the optic nerve that leads to the brain. The two eyes represent choice of the actions of the will of the heart. We can choose to use our eye for good or evil to perceive things. Iron is a silent letter. It is said that iron sees but does not speak, and represents all attitude of humility. As an allegory, iron can represent idolatry as well as slavery. When the eye is evil, it becomes a slave to sin and evil impulses. In the Tanakh, Rashi in Bamidbar 15 and 39, which is Numbers 15 and 39, the heart and the eyes are the spies of the body. They act as its agent for sinning. The eye sees, the heart covets, and the body commits sin. Okay, so that is according to these Jewish people, Ayin, Hara, it is an evil eye, which will look to the letter Pei, which is the mouth, considering how it might consume itself in greed and envy, which is how the modern day Jews are operating. They're operating in greed and envy. They're taking all, they're amassing all the wealth of the world for themselves. So yes, Ayin Hara does fit them, an evil eye. They're using the eye of God that, well, it is said that Caucasian people's eyes are calcified. But as I'm learning, anybody can open their spiritual eye. So when you open your spiritual eye and you don't do it through the way God would have us to open our spiritual eyes through Him, through His revelation knowledge, through understanding His word, then yes, your eye becomes evil. Because who is there to guard what goes in and out of that eye? The eye is spiritual. It is a weapon as well. We just don't know how to use it yet as a weapon. And as we learn, we will find out what all our eye is, you know, meant for, what all it is about, what all it can produce. So this eye is nothing to play with. This eye is something to take very seriously, because it connects us to worship. It connects us to that intimate place with God that is within us. He left it within us. He left our place, the Ark of the Covenant, that place of communion, that secret place within this third eye, the spiritual eye. So we will see at our revealing what all this eye will represent for us. And now I would like to get into reading you some encouraging words. Even though it is for the church, you include yourself, Israel, Judah, Israel, include yourself, because this is for us as well. Okay, we have five visions for 2019. And the Year of the Nine by Bill and Marsha Burns from Kremlin, Colorado. Okay, so by Marsha Burns, she says, rebooting to greater spiritual clarity. Talking about that third eye, y'all. It is time to reboot, which is to shut down and start again. That's the season we in, y'all, the demarcation period. Time to shut it down and start something new. It's spiritual. It's happening without you or my permission. It don't need our permission, but it's going to happen anyway. So she says it's a time to reboot, which is to shut down and to start again. A reboot doesn't necessarily erase memory, but is a one-step solution in dealing with various issues. And if we spiritualize this concept, it affords an opportunity for a new beginning. Things from the past that caused trauma need to be filed away in the archives of memory so that this fresh start is uncluttered from past events. The substance of God's healing virtue is available to make this possible. The veil of the flesh must be torn or removed in order for there to be greater spiritual clarity. We need to get past carnal perspectives to see what the Lord is showing us. Then there will be an elevation to new heights, as well as a deeper place in the spirit, a more elaborate spectrum of spirit living will be available to us. Higher, deeper, wider, up, down, left, and right. That will remove previous boundaries and barriers. There will be a greater sense of purpose as our hearts become one with God's heart. Isaiah 54, 2 through 3. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. Come on, y'all. We going to expand to the right and to the left. We going to a place of Goshen, y'all, a place of safety, to the wilderness of nations, y'all. I added that part in. Okay, watch for contrast. Watch for contrast, the state of being strikingly different from something else. The contrast will become more drastic, deeper, darker, and greater light. Deeper darkness and greater light. As the chasm continues to widen, creating greater separation and division, we will each have to be vigilant so that we can make good decisions and choose the best things. Above all, guard your heart with all diligence. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I told y'all, this is kingdom, y'all. Gentile rule, this is kingdom. I heard the Lord say, maximize the positive effect on those around you. Minimize the negative effect. Do not waste your time on self-pity. Make the most of your time with me and with others. The Lord said, come on in for a closer time with him, y'all. Do not squander opportunity to make a difference. Five visions concerning 2019. I'm here to share, this is something else. This is another vision. I'm here to share five visions that I think are profound concerning the new year. Vision one, I saw a vast number of people sorting through garbage at a dump site. I was reminded of a vision I had some time ago of following a path around a huge garbage dump that finally led to a lake and then, up a steep mountain. In that vision, the garbage dump was symbolic of politics and mostly had to do with garbage from the polarized media. So I knew that in this current dream, the people sorting through the garbage were those who had gotten stuck or who had become addicted to political rhetoric in an effort to find the truth. For those who finally skirted this mess, there was a lake of deep spiritual truth and refreshment. It was also a place of divine revelation and extension, meaningful internal work. I believe those who had been able to get around the garbage and had have done the deep dive into the lake will now be able to begin their ascent to the heights where they can know God more personally and intimately. Vision 2, I saw a swimmer with an oxygen tank, fins in a sweatsuit. He was swimming in a deep underwater cave system. The beauty of the caves were evident in his headlamp as he moved through tunnels into great expanses that were teeming with life. I soon realized that this was a type and symbol of deep and spiritual exploration and inspiration. Psalms 95 and 4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth, the heights of the hills. The heights and of the hills are his also. Vision 3, I saw a window through which I could see another window and another, each with increasingly clarity of the view beyond. There was a refining process that produced a spiritual awareness and purity of life. Zechariah 13 and 9. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Vision 4, for those who are called as warriors to fight against the enemy, that's me, a warrior, had a vision of warships in the clouds that looked like the waves of the sea. This to me was a symbol of waging war on a higher level of effectiveness. I believe this includes understanding the range of weapons that we have access to. In an unusual spiritual encounter, I could hear the battle raging between God and evil. It was about the choices we make and the results that are so vastly different from one another. I couldn't help but wonder why anyone would choose darkness over light and over evil and over good. We either pay the price by living in darkness or reap the reward of living with and for God. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I will give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means should hurt you. Luke 10 and 19. That was Luke 10 and 19. And Visions 5, I saw three things that mean the same thing: a bonfire, a lighthouse, and an airport beacon. We are that light, whether on land or on the sea or in the air, to show the way to a place of safety for Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is the visions that has been given. And I'm going to end it now just for you all to know. Be the watchman on the wall. Stay tuned, because in a couple of short months, the revealing will take place and all will see. The world will know who God's true children are, what this is all about. And everybody, please tune in to my event tonight, which is Mothership Landing, the Poetry Night event at, I'm sorry, I don't have all this together, you guys. I'm trying to rush to get out of here. But at the mansion tonight, the Swift Mansion, from 8 to 11 tonight, 8 p.m. to 11. So come on, stop by, pay at the door, $20 at the door, online $15. And if you want to spit, then it's $10. So come on in and come on and visit me tonight, and let's get enlightened with what God's word says about who we are and whose we are. And I'll leave you with that. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye for now.
Get up.